I think George Soros is terrorizing me. I know that sounds crazy, but you know what is going on in the political discourse and discourse in general? People take an exaggerated stance, or more importantly, they make an exaggerated stance of your stance and then try to make you look stupid by refuting it. So, you know, the most common example is pro-choice, pro-life. The pro-lifers say, so you're anti-life? You want people, you want babies to die? And the pro-choicers say, so you're against choice? You hate when people have a choice? They do it with gay marriage, too. Instead of getting into the nuance of, is this bullying Christians? Why does that guy have to bake a cake? Why does this couple, this Christian couple, have to host a marriage in their own living room? And that couple, by the way, is up from upstate New York. They were fined $12,000 for refusing. But there's no nuance there. The version is two gay people are in love and they want to spend some time together. You're against that? Or even Obama the other day, he goes, Donald Trump can't even point out in Charlottesville that these guys are Nazis. Nazis are bad. How hard can it be to say Nazis are bad? Yes, of course Nazis are bad. He said there was good and bad on both sides. There was a lot more bad there. But he was just implying some nuance. And I think it was an intelligent thing to do because when there's gray, there's less people getting assaulted for no reason. Anyway, I'll get to Charlottesville in a second because that's part of all this. So when I say Soros is terrorizing me, the instant reaction is, oh, George Soros calls up some guys in trench coats and says, get Gavin, get him. And it's not that simple. This is what I think happens. This is how I think it goes. So I, after getting to know a lot about Soros through Ezra Levant, I started exposing him for what he did in World War II with the Nazis. Isn't it amazing that someone was around in World War II? Hey, what did you do in World War II? So this is what I believe he did, and I believe he's made this very clear in his books. He went door to door like a little paper boy and would hang these signs or give these notices into people in mailboxes that said, hey, you're a Jew, get out of Dodge, or you're going to the concentration camps. And I assume most of them, everyone who could, got out of Dodge, but maybe some of those people who got notices went to concentration camps. So he may not have had a Nazi uniform, he may not have been Sieg Heiling, but he helped facilitate the Holocaust. And on 60 Minutes, he said as much. And what's worse, because he was 14 when the war ended, so he's probably 13 and 12 when he was doing all that. What's worse is on 60 Minutes, he said, I don't regret it. It was the greatest time of my life. Very, very fun times. As opposed to, I look back in horror and I have nightmares every night. Can you imagine if Donald Trump knew someone who helped facilitate the Holocaust? Can you? Well, he wouldn't be president, first of all. So Soros I think he deeply regrets writing that in his book, and I think he deeply regrets saying it, talking about it on 60 Minutes. So this is what I think happens. The guy has billions of dollars. He's a big globalist in that he wants to just obliterate everyone. Not everyone, like kill them, but just destroy all sort of structure and tradition and make one big homogeneous planet where we can have the head of world energy, the head of world education. This was what his father was like. His father was treated as this gentle Jewish giant who had to smuggle a little baby George off to some other guy and pretend that they wanted to help the Nazis. But that wasn't the deal. His dad was an atheist. He hated all religions. That includes Jews. And he wanted the whole world to speak that stupid Esperanza language. You know that deal? And that's what the globalists talk about all the time. They go, let's destroy everything and rebuild it from scratch. They don't use quite that verbiage. So I think Soros sits down with his people and he says, I've got the one problem here. I'm doing a different accent every time I do them. I've got one problem here. I have
this Nazi thing is really bad PR. People are thinking I'm a Nazi just because I helped the Nazis locate Jews and announce to them that they were going off to the trains to be killed. For some reason, people are really hung up on that. Like, I'm the bad guy now. They're really playing the blame game here. These guys are, Jesus Christ, you help a few Nazis kill a few Jews, and all of a sudden people think you're a Nazi. I didn't even wear the uniform. I wore just like a blazer. And that's just like a red shirt with like maybe one skull on it I wore. A few times, black leather gloves because it was cold. And you need jack boots when you're riding your bike. This splashes, you know, Germany's messy at the time. We're in a war. I drive over a pile of dog shit. That splashes on my boots. I need to be able to hose them off. Plus, I get Jewish people crying all over me. I get wet.
So, you know, the beauty of a billionaire is they can solve anything. So they go, all right, George. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to put out all these articles. We're going to spin it that you're a Holocaust survivor who had to go undercover. And you had no idea. You were just a baby, a little 13-year-old baby. And you just saw going to nice people's houses, and they would take the paintings down and put them in a truck. And you'd go, oh, they're painter movers. And you sensed something was up, but all you knew is you survived and you weren't killed by the evil Nazis that you were standing right next to every day, all day. He goes, sounds good. Let's do it. Handle that from now on. And so they get a bunch of money. They probably hire the top PR firm ever to try to spin that. And then they come back to him, or maybe they don't even come back to him, but then the problem arises where people won't shut up about the original story. God damn it. Ezra Levant wrote a 600-word piece for the Toronto Sun that documented basically the beginning of what I was saying. And it was immediately taken down. And he was immediately forced to apologize. I think he had a new kid at the time. Ezra's got a cool attitude. He doesn't say never apologize. He goes, apologize as little as possible. Try to get it down to like once a year. And so, new kid on the way, new marriage, new business. He thought, all right, well, I got to take one for the team. And he said, I'm so sorry I wrote that article. And it vanished. And it's impossible to find online. You can't even find it in a time machine. It's gone. And then something else curious happened. Ever since that day, Ezra has been tangled up in the most bizarre lawfare you've ever seen. All these weird, frivolous cases where some teacher is mad at him for something he said about teaching, and all of a sudden, magically, this 40 grand a year teacher is able to take him to court to the tune of 150 grand. He's got about 10 of those. I think he eventually, it's on an old episode of the Gavin McInnes Show, which will now be attacked, of course. The bots will get in there. But I think he had to renege, abscond your legal license. And even that he had trouble doing, because you're not allowed to rescind it when you're in a court, when you're in a trial. Jesus, I'm not articulating this very well at all, am I, folks? I don't know legal jargon. So he had to find the millisecond that he wasn't being sued so he could kill his legal license, so he could have it revoked, because that's what they kept trying to do. I'm not really explaining this very well, but I remember him having to go to court in Calgary or wherever he got his license and say, all right, now I want to take it out. Now I don't want to be a lawyer anymore, starting now. Anyway, it worked. And I think things have slowed down from him. I'm not sure. But I've noticed I have been sort of under siege. And it's strange where someone will go, you know, this is every time Gavin said something, racially insensitive, and it'll be totally stripped of context. I've never used the N-word in a malicious way, ever. But I would talk about that word, or people who say that word, or do a character that said that word. So someone went through 700 hours of my show and put them all together. Now, who has time to watch 700 hours of something unless they're being paid? Similarly, Jared Holt over at Right Wing Watch, he watches every single one of my shows. Now, I sue people who call me alt-right or racist or anything, or say I had anything to do with Charlottesville. So he has to be very careful, and he just repeats what I said on the show, which is really just being a publicist. But he has to fastidiously comb through every second of my show. Who's paying him to do that? That sounds unusual, doesn't it? Who comb? And Ezra is the one who brought this up to me. And he goes, don't you find it strange that someone has hundreds and hundreds of hours to go through everything? And the other thing, too, is if you were to go through all 700 hours of the Gavin McInnes show, you obviously know that where I stand politically, and you probably agree with me. I'm not radical by any means. I'm not far right, as they keep saying. So you're purposely ignoring the context and the truth and isolating these little clips to change the narrative and make a negative narrative to discredit me. And then, of course, if that doesn't work, you can pressure Jack to get me off Twitter. Now, is Soros complicit in all that? Not necessarily. See, it's not that simple. It's not just gays are in love and they want to be together. It's not just pro-choicers hate life. Pro-choicers, and I'm not pro-choice, I'm pro-life. Pro-choicers believe that if you make abortion illegal, there'll be all these back alley abortions and these women will die. So they're not anti-life. They're saying better kill this little tiny baby than have a grown woman die. That's their argument. And it's not that illogical. I understand it. So I'm not saying Soros is staring at me and following my Twitter feed. Soros likely has no idea who I am. What I think happens is the first domino is pushed. And the first domino says, I need to get rid of my Nazi past. And anytime you see an article on it, take it down. Again, totally new accent for Soros this time round. And then I bet the PR firm or whoever it is was hired to get rid of the Nazi thing. They said, we need to ramp it up a bit, with or without George's permission. So let's terrorize anyone who brings up his Nazi past. Alex Jones, Gavin McInnes, Ezra Levant, anyone. And we'll hire people because you have all this excess money. That's the other problem. It just having a few articles taken down is probably relatively cheap. When you have a budget of, say, $10 million, you go, I got to spend this money or we're not going to get it renewed next year. So why don't I just spend it on paying someone to go through 1,000 hours of Gavin's content and find some bad stuff in there? Now you go, well, that's insane. Show me the proof. Well, what people like Soros do is they obfuscate their donations through about 15 different companies. So he's got this one. Actually, I just read about this seconds ago. I'm sorry to make this one so political, but you can't always be funny. So you know Brett Kavanaugh, right? All of a sudden, he is being accused of rape right before he becomes a Supreme Court judge. No idea why we had to wait 36 years for this accusation. Well, I have a pretty good idea. And it turns out the judge, the lawyer of the alleged victim works for Soros. She's a D.C. lawyer, and she's the vice chair on the board of the Project on Government Oversight. The Project of Government Oversight signed a letter to Senator blah, blah, blah. And then you look at the Project of Government Oversight. Where do they get their funding from? Open Society Foundation. Guess who funds Open Society Foundation? George Soros. So the way you do this kind of thing is you have the Center for American Awareness and Love, and they donate to the national syndication of Being Fair and Cool to People, and then they donate to the Why Life Matters and Everyone Deserves a Hug Foundation, and then they donate to the Thumbs Up America and Fairness, blah, 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 blah. You know, these stupid titles they all have. And then there's no trace. I think it's a pretty solid theory. It's just a theory, of course. But I think the same could be said of the Hillary Clinton murders. I did an article on this on Tacky Mag, and it's the kind of thing you get super scared researching it. I'm typing in now so I can find it here. It's a hot month for Clinton's body count. And basically, it took me a few days to finish this, but I went through all of the accusations, and a lot of them are auspicious, but there's about a dozen that are pretty rock solid. And the spooky thing about them, and I was talking about this recently, the spooky thing about it is there's no other death count for any other politician. Obama doesn't have a death count. I mean, he has blood on his hands with Fast and Furious and Benghazi and stuff. But as far as like his chef is fine. The Clinton chef is face down in a river. I think there was a guy who was writing a book on how Hillary doesn't belong in the White House, and he died of a suicide where he shot himself in the back of the head at the top of a mountain. That's the same as the chef. He died in a creek. I know all this sounds crazy, but once you start parsing through it, you go, something's up here. And then you go, okay. I remember I was on Kennedy on Fox Business, and she goes, you think Hillary killed Vince Foster? And I go, yep. And she goes, you're a mental patient. And I understand, it does sound pretty mental to say Hillary sits there like Tony Soprano going, it's a very difficult situation, and says, get rid of Seth Rich, he's asking too many questions. But it was curious how Seth Rich was really mad about Hillary stealing the nominee from Bernie Sanders, and then he mysteriously died. Or remember there was that guy who served the DNC with a subpoena, and he was bragging about it on YouTube, and then he mysteriously died. There's like that case like after case of that. Now, here's how it could have gone down. This is similar to the Soros thing. It's not like she sits there and says, murder this person. In the 90s, when Bill Clinton was elected, there was a lot of mistresses. He's always been a horny dude, which, by the way, bodes well for Kavanaugh, because there's only this one rape case. These guys tend to be repeat offenders, these sexual predators. So I think when Bill Clinton was elected or running for office, they said there's some problems here. He's got this mistress, his sign language interpreter. I think he was boning her. And then she mysteriously is shot in the head while working at a coffee shop and no one took any money. So I believe, this is just a theory, I don't think it's unusual, especially when you look at the numbers, that Hillary went, look, we have to make this go away at all costs. I don't know why I'm making this. Hillary's voice just helps you differentiate. Yesterday I was saying to my son, for all playbacks on baseball games, so we don't confuse it with the live game, they should be in black and white so we can differentiate. And he goes, they don't show the score when they do playbacks. Just look to see if there's a score, and you can see if it's a playback or a live game. And I said, oh. Anyway, this is how you'll know that I'm doing a different person. This is Hillary Clinton now. So during like 1991 or whatever, when it was ramping up for Bill, she goes, I need these mistresses to go away. And they go, well, there's ways to make things go away, and then there's ways to make things go away. And she grabbed him by the lapel, and she said, I want the second one. And don't ever mention this again. And so I believe, and this is one of my craziest conspiracy theories, but sorry, you're allowed to have some crazy theories, okay? Leave me alone. You have crazy theories about Trump being a Nazi and colluding with white supremacists in the White House. You're way crazier than me. At least I have evidence to back my claims. You have an okay gesture. So they take care of like one, two, three mistresses. And that creates not a franchise, but a gang. And the gang's job is to make sure Bill never gets caught. And usually it's very simple. Usually it's paying someone off. Usually it's burning a tape. Usually it's threatening someone's mom or something. And if your daughter gets loose lips, then we're going to sink your ship. But sometimes you've got to go farther and kill them. The chef knows too much. He's got to drown on a camping trip. But it's possible that with these kind of things, they gain their own momentum. And so you knock the first domino by saying, get rid of these three mistresses in 1992. And then you have a killing department. It's possible she doesn't know about Seth Rich or any of that stuff. Now, I'm not bringing this up to purport this strong theory that Hillary's responsible for like 40 deaths. I'm not really talking about Hillary. This goes back to the gay marriage thing, to the Soros thing. I'm saying that there's nuance with all of these theories. It's always like, you know, Alex Jones is a nut bar because he thinks the water turned the frogs gay. No, there's nuance there. The nuance is that estrogen is in the water from birth control pills, and amphibians who live near these water supplies are erring on the side of female more than male as they choose their gender. A lot of amphibians can switch genders early on in the game, and there tend to be a preponderance of female frogs. And I'm sure salamanders and newts. It's not so crazy what that person said. It's sort of like Weekly World News or the National Enquirer. It's actually a pretty good news source. here, take that soundbite out of context. But the title will say something like, the headline will be, Miley Cyrus wishes she was old. And you go, oh, geez, that's weird. She's a young, pretty lady. Why would she want that? Then you read the article, and it says that she would appreciate, in film, if she was to do more acting, she'd appreciate more mature roles, maybe even a mom or something, a single mom. And you go, oh, you tricked me, you liar, with the headline. So we're spending too much time with the headlines. Soros attacks Gavin McInnes. Hillary Clinton stabs Seth Rich. People don't want gays to be in love. That's not the case. And with all this polarization politically, we're making up a version of the other side's argument and then laughing at them. I'm going, ha ha, you want people to die. You're nuts. You can't even call a Nazi a Nazi. And Obama's a big part of that sort of oversimplification structure. And I've heard, when you hear millennials, they take the headline version of the subject, like Trump wants, children of illegals not to be with their moms. And you go, well, there's no debating that. That's ridiculous. Or even with this whole, the way that Antifa and the socio-fascists on the alt-left, the way they see the right, they just go, oh, those guys want genocide? I'm not debating that. There's no reason for genocide. Genocide's disgusting. and the guys slightly to the right of them are going, I didn't want to talk to you to defend genocide. I wanted to talk to you to explain that no one wants that. And it's not facilitatable anyway. Like, what train service is going to pick up the trans people on their way to the trans death camps? Who works on that train? All right, round them up. Ding, dong, ding, 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 ding. Like, what landlord is going to allow that to happen at his dock? Hey, man, can we kill a million trannies here at Port C on Pier 41? Okay, guys, but leave it like you found it, all right? I want everything cleaned up, and I don't want any stench. Okay, we're also going to be killing disabled people, gypsies, and clowns here. Look, I don't need to hear the details. Just make sure it looks good. I don't want body fat pouring all over the place. It's funny that Alex Jones is kicked off Twitter for all his crazy conspiracy theories. And then we have teachers saying, I stand by my immigrant students. I stand by my disabled students. In case what? When I come to kill your handicapped students? Pardonnez-moi. My friends, Peter Cooper, Michael Hirschhorn. They probably don't like me anymore, but I like them. And they said the same thing to me. You gonna have my back when they come to round me up? For what? Being successful upper middle class Jewish New Yorkers? Yeah, no thank you. You guys are getting rounded up in the paddy wagon. All millions and millions and millions of you. All most of New York of you. So, I think my theories are pretty tame here. Soros has a PR problem. He threw a pile of money at it and then peaced out. Then he went back to his vacation spot with some young wife. The PR firm went, all right, we'll take down all the articles and we'll just tangle up anyone who brings up the Nazi thing. We'll just tangle them up. Could be anything. Like, we'll encourage, we'll give an incentive for them to, I don't know, get more parking tickets. Or we'll file complaints on social media. Look at how Milo got kicked off social media. Someone hacked Leslie Jones' account and said, hey, Milo's a fag. And then Leslie goes, I never said that. But she got attacked by Milo fans. So that she says, Jack, I never said that. Can you help? And he goes, no problem. Milo, you're banned. I was like, what? What just happened? I didn't harass her. He did kind of after the fact. He said at least Ghostbusters had one man in it. That was Leslie Jones. Pretty funny joke. But that wasn't why he was kicked off. He was kicked off because of the hullabaloo that happened after someone hacked her account. So that's obviously a bias there. That's obviously someone out to get you. And I think a lot of the bias can be monetary. Funded bias. By, what are they called? Open Foundation. All right, so that's the George Soros thing explained, right? He's not a sinister Mr. Burns sitting there rubbing his hands going, yeah, excellent. He's just a guy who said, can you take care of the Nazi thing? This is my fifth George Soros accent. I want the Nazi thing to go away. I don't care. I don't want to hear about it.
I hate hearing that I was a Nazi. Actually, you know what? Might be fun, Charlie, just before we close the book on this, maybe call them Nazis. What about that? You calling me a Nazi? I'm a survivor. You're Nazi, man. You're the big Nazi guy. For pointing this out. You traumatize me. I'm a Jewish man.
No, you're not really, dude. You're an atheist. You can't really call yourself Jewish if you're an atheist.
Yes, I can. I'm ethnically Jewish. And if you don't like me, you're a Nazi.
I don't necessarily dislike you. I'm just pointing out what you said your role was in World War II.
Fuck you, buddy. You know what? I'm suing you for that shirt. That's a Mets shirt. You don't have the copyright. You're getting the Mets. Get Mets lawyers.
What the fuck? And then, he just says, just handle that. I don't want to hear about it. You know, I think these billionaires, they feel good to have like 15 lawsuits going on at once, just like spinning plates. Like, that feels good. I got my little lawyer department. They've got stuff to do. It doesn't matter how relevant it is. It's like that movie Brazil, where one floor crunches the numbers and detangles them, and then they send it up to the floor above them, and the floor jangles them up again, and then it goes back to the floor, and they just keep jumbling up numbers and reorganizing them again and again, like an Obama job. So that's Soros. And I don't think that's remotely crazy. You know, you see Antifa going, where's my Soros check? And now it doesn't filter down to you, my friend. And then with the Hillary thing, I don't think it's crazy to assume that she insisted that some big, heavy dudes take care of three of his mistresses in 1992. That's the craziest my theory gets with that. And then that set the ball rolling. Could be she's stressed the fuck out right now. Maybe that's why she's so unhealthy, because she has the weight of these murders on her head. And when she saw Seth Rich was killed, she went, oh my fucking God, oh my fucking God, oh my fucking God, this is getting out of control. Holy shit, holy shit, holy shit, holy shit. Oh my God, okay. Come on, Hillary. Hey, she looks at herself in the mirror. Come on, buck up. There's nothing you can do about it now. What are you going to do, go confess? Go expose them? You'll be dead next, all right? You got in bed, you made a deal with the devil. You got in bed with Satan. Now people are dying. There's nothing you can do about it. And then she asks Bill. Maybe Bill doesn't even know about this. He's just like, God damn, it's real. This is a second impression. Real coincidence how everyone I fuck dies. Maybe I have AIDS. No, but the people that I fuck, they get shot in the head. Maybe my sperm is too strong and it drills a hole in people's heads. But no, wait, then it's usually like weeks later. Now I sound like a Kennedy. You know that guy, what's his name? Robert F. Kennedy. He's got this vocal disease where it sounds like he's dying. He's just been crying all day. Dude, you have a curse with your voice. But why do you choose to do so many speeches? Somebody's saying, we're here to talk about climate change and all the scientists that are being ignored. And you go, do you want to just have a good cry and get it out? No, this is my voice. This is how I normally talk. That's really how he talks. What a curse, huh? Anyway, so that's the Hillary thing. And then I start thinking, and this is getting real conspiratorial. Then I start thinking, Charlottesville was fake. It was a hoax. Here's why I think that. Jason Kessler was a lefty, Occupy Wall Street guy. Then all of a sudden he says, no, now I'm Mr. Alt-Right. Now, when I first met him, he was a statues guy, and I abhor statues being pulled down. I don't care who it is.
Should you have a statue of Hitler?
There's statues of Mao all over China. He killed 80 million people. You still see Chinese people with a Mao tote bag, which I do not get. They took down a Sir John A. Macdonald statue in Canada. What the F is that?
He was mean to the Indians.
Yeah, he also created Canada and built a railroad. If he was nice to the Indians and didn't build a railroad, there'd be no Canada. So you can't really be a Canadian and hate Sir John A. Macdonald. That's like being a metal, like a Motorhead fan and hating Lemmy.
Yeah, but Motorhead fucked up a lot of eardrums.
Okay, then you don't like Motorhead. Then don't listen to them. Leave Canada. Anyway, so that's how it was originally pitched to me. And I said, are you alt-right? And he said, no. And I caught him on my show. I said, you said you weren't alt-right. And he hung up. He hung up. This guy said, I'm really busy. I got some stuff to do. So he was disingenuous, and then he tried to join the Proud Boys twice in two different chapters, and both times it was very friendly during the vetting. Hey, man, you seem all right. Punch you in. Have a little roughhousing. And then things would start to get a little darker, and then they'd say the JQ, as they call it, the Jewish question. You're kind of turning out like not what you said you were. And you keep trying to talk about the Jews all the time, like you want me to say something. That's what spies do. You're out. So he's kicked out of both that he tried to infiltrate. But the media says, oh, he's a Proud Boy. And I said, when he first brought it up, Unite the Right, that sounded good. And I said, you should have black dudes there, Hotep guys and gays and Israeli right-wingers and young and old, you know, if you really want to unite the right. And he's like, yeah, I'm not doing that. And I thought, that's suspicious. You don't want black guys at it, huh? You know Hotep. Interesting. So I started to smell a rat. This is months before. And I disavowed it months before and said, no, we're not going to this. And this is back even when before we knew that it was going to be Evil Fest 2017, when it was just seeming suspicious. And then I remember he called me. I was on vacation. I was on the beach with my kids. And he goes, we really need you to come down. And he sounded frantic. Now, when someone sounds frantic like that, I also get suspicious. You know, I've promoted shows before. If band can't come, you go, shoot, are you sure there's no way we can work this out? No. Okay, bye. Boom. You don't want a band to reluctantly go there because they might not show up. You want people to go, yes, I can't wait to be there. I'll be there. It's like sex. You don't want someone going, yeah, I guess maybe. No, thank you. I don't want any favors, thanks. I want you to be gagging for it. So I remember screaming at him on the beach very vividly because I just snapped because he kept pushing and pushing and pushing. And I said, look, I had my festivals when I was 18. I put on my shows. I had my thing. We had Rock Against Racism. We fought the Nazi skinheads. I did all that stuff. All right. I had my fights. I'm not part of your thing. You go do your thing. Have your stuff. Stop trying to make me 50% of your thing. Now I look back and I go, oh, were you being paid to make me part of your thing? I think he was pushing for Milo, too. I'm not sure about that, actually. But I believe he was pushing for Lauren and other people. And then I thought, maybe Charlottesville was created by the left to sort of unite the right. Yeah, unite them all into a pot and then burn them alive. Because I started seeing the poster, right, like a few days before, and it had all these Pepe frogs, yes, but it also had Hitler looking like eagles and stuff on it, like SS eagles. And I went, what the? And then you see the actual thing. No one mentions a statue. Just a bunch of tiki torches and blood and soil and pure Nazi stuff. Not far, far alt-right. And again, I've always defined the right to people who are curious, which is pretty rare, as a massive swath of new right, which is just socially liberal, fiscally conservative people who love free speech and abhor political correctness and don't believe in racial identity politics and they don't think the cops are racist and America's a racist hellhole and sexist and all that crap. Basically, normal people is the majority of the right. I call them the new right. The alt-right calls us the alt-light as an insult. I don't care. But on the very, very far right, even though they call everyone on the new right the far right, there is a sliver, maybe 5% of the right or less that are alt-right. And within that sliver, maybe a third of them are like bona fide Nazis, Sieg Heiling bad guys. Of course, the left paints everyone with that brush, even Trump supporters, even Trump himself. But it is a tiny, as we saw in Charlottesville, they had 100% of the bad guys, and it was about, I don't know, 200, 300. But in retrospect, in my paranoia, I'm thinking Jason Kessler was paid to make a bonfire and throw all the right in it so we would become discredited and Trump wouldn't win the election. Now, there's ambiguity there. There's not just a guy with a briefcase who shows up and says, here's your money, get these people to your rally on, you know, good terms, and then turn it into a Nazi rally. And then they'll look like Nazis and we can pin Heather Heyer on them. But there can be a fund that goes through a fund that goes through a fund that goes through a fund, and that fifth fund helps Jason organize it and helps his dad pay off his mortgage or some other way of shifting money around. I know that sounds nuts. Sorry. Maybe I'm nuts. Because I can't help but notice after Charlottesville, with its one death, we keep hearing about it again and again and again and again. There's, you know, you don't hear about the Pulse shooting. You don't hear about, you don't even hear about these crazy shooters, even ones that would help the left's cause. Like Dylann Roof had stars and bars. He had Confederate flags. But they don't talk about him. They just focus on Charlottesville almost as though a bunch of money had been spent focusing on that and they got to get their money's worth. Again, this is just a theory. It is literally a conspiracy theory, I guess. I am officially spouting conspiracy theories. But like the actual story of Heather Heyer is a obese woman, an overweight woman wearing flip-flops and leggings, went to confront Nazis. Now, I don't think that's conspiratorial. I think that's this sort of myth of feminism that women kick ass and can beat up anyone. And what are you going to do about it, bitch? Every time you see a confrontation in a bar, especially like the past 10 years, these women jump into the front of the fray and go, shut the fuck up and shove and stuff. And you're like, lady, you're not as strong as men. In fact, my layman's estimate is it takes 12 of your punches to equal one man punch. So stop going to rallies and picking fights with Nazis and bikers. And it's like me picking a fight with MS-13 or the Mongols or the pagans or something. They would instantly obliterate me. If I were to go to an MS-13 thing, I don't know. I'd have full body gear and be in perfect shape, be straying really far back, you know. Anyway, so she comes bounding in. Simultaneously, you had this guy, James Fields, probably autistic. I would say the vast majority of these super right Nazi guys are autistic. They're just kind of not right in the head. And they're probably lonely. And they're not getting laid, so they're like, I need a scapegoat for my misery. How about Jews? So I think that was probably the guy, and he's skittish. And then there were these dudes, Redneck Revolt, they call themselves. And they're academics. Most of Antifa are academics. And this guy, whose name I forget, I can dig him up. He attacked James Fields with a gun. He came at him with a gun and threatened him. Spooked James Fields, is that what I should put in the search bar? Yeah. Okay. So they're called Redneck Revolt. Fields. I'm sorry, guys. Members of the Redneck Revolt said the edge of the park, blah, blah, blah. Perpetrated by James Fields. That's boring. Boring. Oh, sorry. This isn't good. Charlottesville racist leader was a former Occupy activist Obama supporter, Jason Kessler. The guy who plowed into them had been diagnosed with schizophrenia. That's interesting. Sorry, this is terrible. I should have done this in advance. Attacked James Fields. I'm not justifying this, by the way. I would never do that. But there was real clear politics or big league politics. They found this professor who spooked James Field. And they said, here we go. They said, why did you kill Heather Heyer or something like that? It's one particular guy. He's got a bandana on and they went to his school. And they confronted him. Big league politics? Maybe they weren't called that. Shit. This is the worst podcast ever. Maybe they weren't called Redneck Revolt. I'm pretty sure they were. Anyway, I want to find this professor's name. There we go. Yes. Good work, Daddy. Sometimes I call myself Daddy when I'm turned on. Wouldn't that be funny if a guy was masturbating and he was talking dirty to himself? Oh, yeah, you like that? You like that cock? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, Daddy's home. I wonder if gays masturbate in the mirror. Because you're almost, if you chop the head off with the mirror frame, you got a nude dude. That's basically what you're into. All right, so The headline is leftist professor who chased Charlottesville driver with a rifle attacks big league cameraman. It's by Patrick Howley. It's on Big League Politics. And the guy's name is Dwayne Dixon. There we go. A leader of the left-wing redneck revolt militia group. So you could just as easily argue that he killed Heather Heyer in that he started the ball rolling with that
and started attacking
Sorry, I got distracted there because surely my engineer is 4 hours late today. Pretty late. Pretty late there, Ryan Ketsu Rivera. I'm getting pretty mad. So anyway, the car plows in. I haven't seen evidence of the car actually hitting her. She could have, I believe she died of a heart attack. So it could have just been the stress of this thing. And they were smashing at the car. Again, not condoning that. I disavow the rally. Disavow it. But I noticed when I was booted off of Twitter, I know I'm starting to sound like Lenny Bruce when he was going through his trial and he'd read the transcripts of the court. Sorry. I apologize for that. The next one will be about fart jokes. I noticed after I was kicked off from Twitter, I did a tweet where I said, I kind of assume this goes without saying, but on the off chance it doesn't, I'd like to make it crystal clear that I and everyone I know and am remotely associated with completely 100% disavow this next Unite the Right rally, just like we did the first one. No thank you. And then I was booted off Twitter, and then the headline became Gavin McInnes kicked off Twitter shortly before, in advance of Unite the Right 2. So the subtext there is that I was prevented from organizing my Unite the Right 2 thing because I was kicked off Twitter, and that's why Twitter did it. Twitter didn't even say that. Twitter said it was because I advocate violence, basically because me and Alex Jones were laughing our heads off when Rufio Panman knocked out that Antifa guy. Me and everyone thought that was funny. It's still going as a meme. That's really why I was kicked off. But the press didn't do that. They said Charlottesville. Although there was some sort of investment in making that myth a veracity. Isn't that suspicious? I think it is. And I think it's suspicious how much every argument now comes back to Heather Heyer. And there's so many more deaths with more threats. And it's Heather. Even that new Black Klansman, the Spike Lee movie. Oh, God, I always confuse those two. Spike Jones. Oh, now I can't remember. Which is the black guy? Spike Lee. The Spike Lee movie. So it talks about Black Klansman, blah, blah, blah. And the KKK is evil. David Duke, gotcha. And we're all on the same page with the KKK guys. We're all on the same page. Got it. Tabernacticalis. Am I sick of hearing about that tiny group? But at the end of the movie, they cut to footage from Charlottesville. This is a movie about, I don't know, the 70s and the Klan in the Deep South. And then the message he seems to be sending is, this is still going strong. And the Klan is everywhere. They're in the White House. And black people are being attacked by white people every day. And white people are evil. And white people are racist. And I've talked to some people who have seen it in the theater. And the takeaway is always the same. When the lights come on, there's this real tension between blacks and whites, which I think is what Spike is going for. I mean, that's his career, right? Is tension and making sure there's animosity. That's his bread and butter. And he sure pulled it off with that. But again, Heather Heyer. So I can't help but think that someone spent a bunch of money making Charlottesville the end of the right, and it didn't work, so they just keep pushing it because the money's already there. That could be Soros-related too. I don't know.
Sorry. Excuse me. There you go.
All right, that's it, folks. That's my serious thing. I had to make this a serious political one because you know what I was realizing? What's this? I can't get that right yet. Doing a kooky podcast and just saying I hate Mondays and going, dude, I'm watching the TV the other day. It's brutal. You kind of run out of stuff to say. So I kind of have to have some substance every few podcasts, especially when I have what I consider to be a pretty good theory about my recent persecution. And by the way, It is annoying as hell. I mean, I like to be the happy warrior and laugh at it all, but it does sort of trickle into your personal life and your children's social life and other things. It is damning. And if it was things I truly believe, like there's only two genders, and I don't think that Caitlyn Jenner is a woman. I think transsexuals are mentally ill gays. That's a controversial thing, I believe. I also believe most women would be happier at home, like to the tune of 95% would be happier as housewives. That's controversial. And I'm perfectly happy to be ostracized for those views. But when you're getting ostracized for views that aren't your own, it's ridiculous, but it is also remarkably tedious. Anyway, I'm at CRTV now, where you can go and see what I truly believe and what I think you believe and most sane people believe. It's really just common sense politics, and that's at crtv.com. We got Get Off My Lawn, a show there that's on about 12 times a month. And then we have CRTV Tonight that's on twice a month, and After Hours that's on twice a month. And we also have this podcast, and I think that's about it. Yeah, I'm not on Twitter anymore. Can't go there, and I'm sure Facebook and Instagram are around the corner. Did you know that Alex Jones is completely kicked off of Apple too? Like, to see his show, you have to go to like Apple News and stuff, and Android and all this weird stuff. What do you do? It's like Clear Bright or something. Hold on, I got it here on my phone. It's a really weird place. I mean, he's got more viewers than ever. All they keep doing is empowering these previously ignored platforms. BitChute, BitChute.com. All right, guys, I like you more than a friend. I'll see you fry.
It's hard to imagine, but right here in our community, there are families living out of their cars, parents skipping meals so their kids will have enough to eat, and folks who can't afford electricity. But you can help them win these battles against poverty by giving to the Salvation Army, where your donations give struggling families the support they need to stay afloat. Want to join this fight for good? Please visit salvationarmy.listenandgive.org to make a donation. That's salvationarmy.listenandgive.org.